Christina McGrinds, I do have one question for you. When Juliana calls the roll because David's not here yet, when he joins, do we need to do anything about him joining?
Yeah, I think that what we should do until he gets here on all the roll call votes, Juliana, go ahead and call David's name, but then state whether or not he's here. So for instance, on the first one, if he's still not here with us, say David Dupree is still not able to join us just yet. And then that way it just transitions perfectly once he does get here.
It will do. Thank you.
Good point.
All right. We'll just get going then. Welcome to the City of Knoxville Board of Zoning Appeals. I'm Daniel Odell, Chair of the BZA. I'll be conducting today's meeting. Here online with me are the other members of the BZA, Don Horton, David Dupree, Christina Bowler, and Grant Rosenberg. Also here online are city staff members. Today's meeting will be conducted in the order of the agenda. Agendas were sent to all meeting attendees prior to today's online meeting. Pursuant to the BZA administrative rules, each matter on the agenda will be considered in the following order. Staff comments, proponents, opponents, rebuttals, discussion among board members, motion and then a second, discussion among board members, and then a vote. Members of the public may address the board and the following rules apply. Each person may speak for up to 5 minutes and shall not have more than one time to speak, except that the chair may allow an additional 2 minutes to the applicant for rebuttal. When more than one person wants to speak to an issue, each side is limited to 3 speakers with 5 minutes each. The board may ask questions of any speaker and may allow more time or more speakers by a vote. Speakers should limit their remarks to the facts of the case and should avoid repeating comments that have been previously stated. If you wish to speak at the appropriate time, please raise your hand on the Zoom meeting platform here. And then when called on, speakers need to state their name and address for the record. Appeals of decisions made by BZA are made to the Knoxville City Council. A petition for such an appeal shall be filed with the Plans Review and Buildings Inspections Department no more than 15 days from the date of the BZA decision. I will now ask Ms. LeClaire to call the roll.
Christina Bowler.
Here.
David Dupree.
Present.
Don Horton.
Here.
Daniel Odell.
Here.
Grant Rosenberg. You're muted, Grant.
Here.
All right, there he is. All right, very good. Okay, let's see here. Minutes. I have reviewed the minutes from last month and I'm satisfied with them. I'd make a motion to approve the minutes from last month.
I second that motion.
All right, a motion and a second. Ms. Juliana, please initiate a roll call vote.
Christina Bowler.
Aye.
David Dupree.
Aye.
Don Horton.
Aye.
Daniel Odell.
Aye.
Grant Rosenberg.
Aye.
All right, thank you very much. Old business was 6I20VA. Right.
Hey, Daniel.
Yeah.
This is Brian with city staff. I know Christina McGrons had something that she wanted to address the board with. It's dealing with the Tennessee Comptroller issued out some executive order in relation to guidance for electronic meetings that will still be held. And so she wanted to talk about a couple things with regards to that board.
Yeah, just briefly there. There are about, you know, 6 or 7 requirements that we have to meet. I'm happy to report though that we are doing all of those things already, except for one thing. And I'm going to phrase this so that at the end of this, somebody can make a motion just saying by saying so moved. But we have a requirement that members of the governing body's board must make a determination at the outset of a meeting that basically meeting by electronic means is necessary to protect the public health, safety, and welfare of others in light of the pandemic. So that would be a motion that we need, specifically a motion to confirm that conducting this meeting by electronic means is necessary to protect the public health, safety, and welfare of Tennesseans in light of the COVID-19 outbreak.
So moved.
Second.
Motion and a second on that. All those in favor, and Julianne, if you will, please roll call vote.
Christina Bowler.
Aye.
David Dupree.
Aye.
Don Horton.
Aye.
Daniel Odle.
Aye.
Grant Rosenberg.
Aye.
And I will get with Juliana in the future so that that text appears on the agenda to make it easier going forward. Thank you all.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Grant, just so you know, when you're taking your mute button off, there's a delay. So we're kind of missing you a little bit, just so you know. All right. Back to old business. 6I20VA. I believe this item agenda is going to be postponed, but is there someone here to speak to this?
Hi there. This is Amy Sherrill with Benefield Richters. Yes, we are seeking to postpone this to the next meeting to allow time to finish the shared parking agreement.
Okay. Thank you very much. With that request, I will make a motion to postpone to the October meeting, 6I20VA. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, motion and a second. All in favor, please, Juliana, call a roll call vote.
Daniel, I do have one statement. Given the notice for this and the way that things have changed, we would be able to hear this on the September 17th meeting. What we're meeting on today is actually the August meeting. We can squeeze them in for September 17th if so agreed.
Okay. And still, okay, okay. Amy, well, is that enough time for you all, or do you need a...
I believe that should be enough time. They're very close. I think out of respect for all parties from the last meeting, they wanted to make sure it's fully executed.
Okay. Well, then let's do that. Let's postpone to the September... Juliana, that was September 17th. Did I get that right?
Correct.
Let's postpone 6I20VA to the September 17th meeting instead of the October meeting. Motion for a second, please.
A second.
Okay. Juliana, please call vote.
Christina Bowler.
Aye.
David Dupree.
Aye.
Don Horton.
Aye.
Daniel Odle.
Aye.
Grant Rosenberg.
Aye.
All right, motion carries. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And we'll move on to the new business, which is 8A20VA. The applicant is William F. Andrews. Is there someone here to speak to this?
Yes, sir. This is Bill Andrews.
All right, Bill. Thank you very much. Please state your address for the record, please, sir.
196 Main Sail Road, Kingston, Tennessee.
All right. Thank you. Before you tell us about your variance request, I need to ask if there's any city comments on this application.
Staff has no comments.
We did receive some in writing earlier, and if there's nothing further.
Correct.
Bill, please tell us about your variance, please, and what your hardship is.
Okay. Let's see. We're actually here because we're attempting, we were already pre-approved to renovate an existing garage. This was on maybe a couple months ago. So we were approved for a renovation, and we decided that we would do a tear down and put it back exactly the same, almost exactly the same, within 99%. I think the new structure might be slightly smaller than the one we were approved for, like, you know, 30 square feet or so. But anyway, we just wanted to do a better building for waterproofing purposes. Like I say, we're pre-approved for the one. A lot of you guys, I think, have seen this building already a few months ago. so we're basically just here to get permission to build a better building, build a better building science.
Okay.
We've not changed roof heights or I think our square footage was slightly smaller than the existing footprint. Basically what we were doing is the same we're putting the same footprint back that we were already going to do as a renovation. We're just doing it new, if that makes sense. So it was kind of a technicality where they didn't mind approving it, but they didn't want to do it in the wrong way where it was approved as a renovation, but then built as a new structure. That's, I guess, the best.
Okay. Someone started messing with the screen. All right. Thank you, Bill. Appreciate that. Before we talk more about that and maybe ask a few questions, let me ask real quickly, is there anyone here opposed to this variance request? And if so, please raise your hand or speak up. Don't think I see anybody with their hand raised. All right. So what questions have we got for Bill on 8A20VA? Bill, we're typically very, and I'll start with one question. We're typically very insistent on understanding what hardship an application is based on at BZA. I did not see a hardship specifically outlined in your variance request. What is the hardship that your application is based on, and what is forcing you to bring this application?
Yeah, so we've got an old couple that want to basically grow their I guess you'd call it an art studio. She's put a little art studio above a garage, and so the hardship was, we were going to have to raise the roof to get a little bit of headroom up there, a little bit better headroom. And then we put a staircase to get up to it. So I think we grew the original approval for hardship was to get a stair to go up there. Okay. And to get the roof to be raised to 17 feet eight. And I think actually after we got through that variance request, they upped the roof height to where we're not even asking for hardship on that. Then also, if you look at the picture from the aerial view, those different pictures, we're way lower than the building directly behind us.
Okay.
They're almost cousins. Theirs are like just perfect. They're not designed exactly alike, but they're proportion wise, the other one is, I don't know if it's a garage, I don't know what it is, but we're not really asking for very much. Just to get a stair up there so she can have a little art studio is what it is.
Bill, you're creating a two-story structure out of this now?
Correct. Yeah. If you wanted to, I guess, yeah, story and a half or two story. I'm not quite sure what you call it.
And does that require more setback from the property line being a two story?
No. We're 10 feet off the backyard setback line as it is. We're putting it back where it used to be. And that's the same. And I think it's a 5 foot yard setback on an unattached building. But anyway, we're right at 10 feet plus or minus a hair.
So the only thing that's really changing in this one is that the roof is going higher and the staircase is going wider?
Yeah, right now there's no staircase, so we put in a little staircase that goes, it should be on the some kind of drawings you've got there. You'll see a little staircase. And the staircase is between the house and the new garage, if you want to call it that.
Can I help clarify something real quick? You keep saying that the nothing's changing from what was approved at the last variance, and the footprint's not changing. Do you know what variance you're asking for?
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what we're trying to understand. We want to know what you're asking for. A variance to the building coverage to go from 900 square feet to 982 square feet. What we need to know is, what is the hardship that necessitates the extra 82 square feet of building coverage for this structure?
Yeah, so I think that the existing building was already not 80 square feet difference. I can't remember exactly what it was, but I think we upped it a little bit. But from what was approved on the variance before, it's the same thing that was approved. So the hardship is to get a stair to go up into that, whatever you call it, attic, art studio, whatever. The hardship is we need a staircase. And if we, and before we were trying to get a height. And so our hardship was we can't get a second story without up in the roof. And then, like I said, since then they said we're not even needing hardship on that. So it boils down to basically a staircase that we're trying to get put in. We could, like I said, if we keep the building the same way it is, like if we keep the building exactly with what was approved a couple months ago, and I can't remember the exact description of the hardship then, I'm just trying to restate it, but that one was approved and we're just trying to build a better building. And to be quite honest, I'd hate to have to redraw a bunch of stuff that's the same exact size that was already approved, I guess.
Well, we're not trying to get you to do that, but we are trying to get you to at least restate whatever the hardship was before, so right. We'll know if that same hardship applies here, and we're just basically rubber stamping that hardship, or if we have to find a separate hardship for this particular occasion.
It is a little bit different, David. The previous approval was in... Somebody correct me if I'm wrong, but if I'm reading this correctly, it was to go, the existing structure is 963 square feet, and they wanted to change the roof line, which we approved in order to be able to allow that apartment on top to exist in place. But the footprint would remain the same, 963, whereas code only allows for 900. This application has come back, and instead of the existing 963, we're going to 982, so it is increasing in size slightly from what is existing. The footprint is increasing in size from what is existing by 19 square feet. So that they already have approval for the roof line that is there, but I don't know if that's even a problem anymore, if I understand correctly.
That's correct, yes, sir.
You are not currently using Wi-Fi for this meeting, are you?
I'm doing it from my phone.
Your hotspot is from that. That's what I told you that we need.
Okay, so that is the only thing you're requesting is
it's an increase,
the 19 or so square feet.
19 from existing, 82 over what code allows for on a new accessory structure. the only thing I'm really trying to understand is why are we increasing 19 square feet? Where is that coming from? It doesn't seem like a lot of square footage to find a way around, but Bill, you're saying, where is that additional 19? What's the hardship that's requiring that? Like,
okay. I'll try. I guess maybe it's that it's to, if we can put this little staircase in here closest to their existing house, that would be a wonderful help for them. Versus going up the hill and trying to come in through the side of the place. It's just kind of trying to make it more accessible for them. They're in their 80s.
Am I looking at the drawings right? There's an elevator?
There is an elevator, yeah. And of course, don't forget that the 19 square feet that we're really asking for is between, nobody's looking at it except them from their kitchen. They're looking at that little stair addition and, no neighbors look at it. Nothing changes from an impact standpoint from other folks, I guess you could say.
So the Daniel, floor layout, the layout Daniel. Has changed from the previous version, right?
No, ma'am. Same layout, identical.
Okay.
Hey, Daniel, Brian, go ahead.
Thank you. I just want to make sure and provide a little clarification on this. It is my understanding with the application that the applicant is looking to tear down the existing garage and rebuild new. So the current code allows him up to 900 square feet on a new build. So it's not an additional 963 square feet difference to the 982. It's the actual 82 square feet, because what he's permitted to build today is 900 square feet.
That is true. That is a true statement. Yeah.
I understood that. I hope we all understood that. I'm tracking with you though.
Well, yeah. Even the people on the building inspector's department, they agreed with me. They said from a building science standpoint, we love the fact that you want to rebuild this thing with, you know, stronger basement walls and basically, you know, better footings and all of that. But we just can't legally do that due to the definitions of, you know, how things, you know, get very technical and rigorous on, you know, how you define what you're doing. But they're, the building inspection folks feel like it's a good idea to even though we can build the same thing we've got approval for, they say, great, why don't you let's get it. Just, I hate to use the word rubber stamp, but that was a good word the fellow used. But just, you know, get it where it's all, everybody's, you know, covered legally correct and build a better building, I guess, is the heart of it all.
Sure. Okay. Well, thank you,
mentioned, Bill. You mentioned going up a hill. So is topography an issue with this?
Topography is an issue to the point that if you didn't have the staircase, you would have to go up, I don't know, a few, there's kind of a fancy bunch of terracing in the backyard, and the way to get up to where you could avoid the staircase would be to go up a couple terrace levels and walk around part of the backyard and then walk into the building. Yeah. So it would be a definite difference as far as feasibility of use, and especially if it was bad weather, the old folks, you know, slipping in the grass or whatever.
Bill, is there a current, is the elevator that's being installed, is there an ADA, is there someone in a wheelchair, or is it there just for convenience of someone getting older and not being able to climb stairs?
It's kind of funny. It was put in there as an option that may happen and may not. It's probably not a do or die thing. It's because they're old is the gist of it. And she's thinking about paintings and hauling her junk up and down in there from a lower level. And first world problem, I guess. I don't know.
Sure. Okay. Any other questions or comments from the board?
A washer, dryer, I see on the plans there.
She does. Mm-hmm. Yeah. She doesn't, it's not for people living in, but she wanted an extra washer and dryer and she ain't got any room in the existing house, so she put it in there. You can put it in there, even if you say don't do the washer dryer, that's fine. I mean, if you want to, if that caveat needs added, we skip it.
Well, I suspect that we're asking some of the questions we have, not because we care about whether or not there is an elevator or a washer and dryer, but we're trying to figure out if there's a way to do this in 900 square feet. That's why I'm asking anyways.
Well, we were trying to, since they want a bunch of storage, they really don't want to downsize it. I guess you could cut off that little part that's existing that sticks out on the, if you're facing the staircase, and you look to the left, there's that little appendage that's there. You might get rid of that. I don't know. I mean, they really need, you know, everybody wants a decent garage so you can get in and out of your, you know, door swings and all of that. So the building is kind of, it's not too skinny, but it's a little bit skinny for two cars. So we don't want to make it any thinner. We'd probably have to lop off that whole little, you see the little bump out on the other part? That little bump out on the left-hand side if you're looking at the staircase.
Yes.
So you might eliminate that. But that elevator doesn't make any difference as far as square footages go. That was just stuck in there. So that can come and go.
Any other question or comment from the board?
Well, I'm trying to understand what the original footprint was. The stair is new. The stair is new. Is that correct?
I think, Don, the entire structure is brand new. This structure
was brand new, but what was the original footprint? Bill was saying that it followed
960 of the actual footprint of the building?
Actual footprint of the original building.
The original.
Is that relevant for the purposes of our,
for the variance? Well, it's not encroaching on the property line, is it? Or doing any? It's growing toward the house.
The challenge with this one, normally we have variances. Normally they deal with a setback or, you know, where the siting of the building is. This isn't that. This is the size of the building. So what we're having trouble with is, it has to meet the legal requirement, obviously, for a variance. I'm having trouble understanding what that hardship, the true hardship is that necessitates the additional 82 square feet above the 900 square foot minimum. And we need to be able to say, and the rationale is listed there before you and is what's required. And we're having trouble, even topography's a stretch. So we're just trying to understand how it qualifies, meets the legal definition.
partly you have to.
Hey, Bill, I'm sorry. We need to let the board talk for a second, please.
I apologize. Yeah.
It's okay. I'm kind of tracking with Grant's comments for the most part. Issue on this for me is I get elderly couple wanting to gain some additional artistic space, and that's fine, but we're only talking about 80 some square feet. In part, I feel like it's only 80 some square feet. What's the big deal? Except that looking at the plans, I think there's several ways I see where maybe they can cut that out and cut that square footage down a little bit. And they're allowed 900 feet, and they could do essentially the same thing without a variance. So I'm inclined to say, I'm sorry, but get some square footage out of this, and then you won't need a variance at all.
Was that a motion?
No, not yet. I was going to wait. Is there any other comment or question from the board? I don't want to truncate.
Well, I'm kind of leaning because there does seem to be some type of issue with the topography that is necessitating the help from a stairway. So I'm guessing that the topography is already an issue with the existing garage.
Right now they're walking up just a few more stairs to get to the same elevation. From what I can see,
they're going up the back side and coming in the back, right?
It's like around the side, David. Yeah. If you look at your the photo that's there in the application, you can see there's 1, 2, 3, basically 4 stairs that they're climbing up to the same elevation that the new entrance would empty onto.
Oh, so there are some stairs there already.
There are currently some stairs, yes. Mm-hmm. From where their parking elevation is, which is where they're going to and from the existing garage. But remember, they're going to rebuild the whole thing anyways. That's where I'm struggling with this.
Right.
I'm willing to make a motion, and then we can talk about it further. But I will motion to deny 8A20VA on the basis of it just having a lack of tenable hardship. Is there any second?
I second.
Okay, Grant will second. Any further discussion before we vote on that motion, or?
I would just comment, I agree with what you said. I don't see the hardship. It seems a little awkward because this is buildable as a renovation and was approved. It seems awkward because it was kind of, I think the date was September of last year of the approval of the variance. And so it's kind of falling in that awkward threshold of when the new zoning ordinance was passed, and it seems if they had decided to improve the building science sooner, then it would have been approved. So that's the only thing that is a bit awkward, I think, from my perspective.
What would have been allowed if this had been before us back in September a year ago, Brian or Peter, could you answer that? Just curious.
This is Peter Aarons, Director of Plans Review and Inspections. Let me make sure I'm unmuted. I am. Those regulations didn't change. If they had proceeded with the project last year, it would have had the same 963 foot footprint that it does today. that would be a pre-existing non-conforming legal structure, and they can continue to use that, and they can go up. When you tear something down, your grandfathering rights are lost, and then any new structure that's rebuilt needs to comply with the zoning code. And those, that 900 square foot number is the same as it was in 2019. And so those numbers have not changed.
Thank you. Okay, I misunderstood that. I thought the previous variance was due to the lower building height limit. So that makes sense. Thank you.
That's a true statement.
Christina, they were just adding on to the existing construction. So I think that's the confusion there. It was an addition. Mm-hmm. So they already had 960 some odd square feet, and they were just going, the variance was for height. Now they've decided to tear down and build new, which prompts the 900 building size. Yeah.
Okay, we have a motion and a second on the table. Is there any other question or comment before I call for a vote on that?
The motion is to deny, correct?
That was the motion, yes.
Okay.
Okay. Call for a vote. Julianne, if you'd call a roll call vote, please.
Christina Bowler.
Aye.
David Dupree.
Aye.
Don Horton.
Aye.
Daniel Odle.
Aye.
Grant Rosenberg.
Aye.
Okay, the variance is denied, and thank you, Bill, and you can appeal that decision to City Council.
Can I ask for a clarification for a second?
So, well, it's a short clarification, but yes.
Yeah, so if we decide to go and one way or another, it doesn't matter, I've got to redraw something. So if I change these drawings and it's not a new structure, then it's approved as we have it, because it's going to look the same either way. If they want to rebuild, if they want to renovate, it's going to look the same either way, and we're approved. Is that correct?
There you go. Thank you, Christina.
Bill, I would say please contact our Plans Review and Building Inspection staff on the next steps. They'll be able to walk you through that. Okay.
I don't understand that statement. I'm sorry. Pardon?
So if you get back in touch with our plans review and building inspections department, they should be able to walk you through the next steps.
Okay.
Okay.
That's great. 19 feet. That's a big ask, isn't it? Thanks a lot. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. The next, file is 8B20VA, 500 Callahan Drive, Casey Tyree, I believe. Is Casey or someone here to speak to this variance request? Okay, you are, I think I can see you there, but you're on mute. You need to unmute your, there you go.
Can you guys hear me?
Yeah.
Yeah, Casey Tyree, Barge Design Solutions, 520 West Summit Hill Drive, Knoxville. I'm the engineer on the project for UPS. Would you like me to jump into the hardship? Sorry, can you guys hear me?
Daniel, are you hearing Casey? Casey, thanks for your patience. It looks like Daniel's maybe having a little technical difficulty.
I can certainly identify with that. I had my internet dropped about 30 seconds before it was my turn to speak here.
Okay. Okay, I apologize. Can you all hear me now?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Casey, can you speak up for me real quick to make sure I can hear you?
Yeah, I can hear you fine. How about me?
Okay, perfect. Thank you. Please state your name and address for the record just so I can start there again.
Sure. Casey Tyree. I'm with Barge Design Solutions. The address is 520 West Summit Hill Drive, Suite 1202, Knoxville, 37902.
Okay. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. Before I get you to go through your variance for us real quick, I need to ask for if there's any additional city comments. We got some mailed to us, but is there anything other than those?
There's not any additional comments. We had, I think, Scenic Knoxville had provided our write-ins, and hopefully that was added to the application, and you received that as well. So.
Okay. Thank you, Brian. All right. Casey, if you would, tell us about your application real quick and what your hardship is for the variance request.
Okay. So UPS has a project to expand their tractor trailer parking staging areas on both the east and west side of the property. If you look at the property, it's once we're through with this project, it'll be close to being at capacity. We're hamstrung to some extent by jurisdictional streams and wetlands on really all sides and property line as well. So we're adding a total of 57 tractor trailer spaces on the east side and 98 on the west side. They actually need substantially more than that, but this is about all we can fit right now without some additional stream and wetland permitting anyway. So as a part of that, these tractor trailer staging yards, they're in operation 24/7. So there are yard personnel who work in the yard at night, and lighting is a concern, obviously, since there's employees out there at nighttime. And when you look at it, the trailers are 13 and a half feet tall, so trying to get light in and around the trailers themselves is difficult, if not impossible, with a shorter light pole. So that's essentially the issue.
Okay. Thank you very much. I need to ask for the record if there's anyone here to speak in opposition. If so, please raise your hand or speak up real quick. All right, I don't see anyone here in opposition. Okay, so let's ask some questions. From my review, looking at this, I think it's fairly straightforward. I didn't have any further questions about the hardship or anything. It's you got tall trucks and you need tall lights, and the code doesn't allow for it. And so that's kind of the short story on this one, I think.
Are these fixtures fully cut off fixtures, dark sky compliant?
They are.
And have you done a photometrics and light trespassing beyond the site? Do we know what that is?
Yes, we have looked at that. We've got a photometric plan, and we've looked at light trespass to make sure we don't have a problem with any adjacent areas.
On those types of evaluations, how do they determine, Don, the what a problem would, how do you define a problem? Does that make sense? Oh. Like my question?
How do you define a problem with the lights?
Well, I mean, I don't know. There's the difference between too much light and not and okay light is, like, how do they?
Higher lights could create more glare to the surrounding properties, and the light I guess the light trespassing, you're saying that it's staying within the site boundaries. And there could be some concerns with if you've got a natural area, the light impact on the animals in the wetlands and those areas there. If you want to go that far, you could possibly have some issues with that. But I think the highlights, if the light spread stays within the site boundary, it's mostly probably a glare issue, more than brightness or light trespassing.
Okay.
And a whole lot of that has to do with what the ambient lighting is around this site, which it Honda dealer across, well, actually the Honda dealer across the interstate, I think did a good job on control of their light.
Looking from an aerial view, it appears that most of these, this is warehouses, storage, car dealers, other like-kind businesses.
Yeah.
I believe over, and Don, correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe over the years we have given, you know, variance requests based on safety, real consideration.
Right.
And I think my first thought on this application is that, you know, I don't know how to think about wetlands necessarily, and that's why I was asking you how to think about that. But from a real practical standpoint, I don't see any major people impact raising these lights up like they're requesting. And I do see a reason to say yes from a safety standpoint. That makes sense to me. Make sure site where people and trucks are moving around together that folks are easy to see so that nobody gets hit. And that seems to be a logical basis for a variance for me, from my perspective.
I would agree with you on that, Daniel, that there are issues with the canyons created by the trucks and being able to illuminate those areas.
My bad.
Board members have any other questions or comments for Casey for this request?
Long story. Can somebody give me a long story short on what Scenic Knoxville's problem is with this particular request? Not what their problem is. Strike that. But I didn't mean it like that, Peter.
Sure. This is Brian Berry with the City of Knoxville. It's my understanding, based on what they submitted through an email, and it should be in your packet as well. It's kind of what I'm going through here at the back part of the application, is I think at the end of it, they're basically saying they believe that the variance request could be supported if the variance is granted with a condition that the applicant keep maximum initial illuminance value of no greater than 0.6 horizontal and vertical foot candles at the property boundary and no greater than 0.01 horizontal foot candles and 15 feet beyond. They go on to say that this allows for parking lot lighting of a truck yard, which quite honestly wasn't considered as part of the 20-foot height limit during the repo process. So aside from what they provided, I'm not 100% certain.
Well, as you can see, that U.S. Green Building Council, that is the light trespass numbers for a site that, well, a site that is considered an undeveloped site. So going back to my question about light trespassing in your photometrics, what is the light level at the boundary lines?
I don't know. Casey, if you want to answer that one.
Yes, can you guys hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, so it's going to be less than a half a foot candle. It depends on where we look at here, but generally speaking, the property line to the south on the east side staging yard is still a couple hundred feet away. And the property line on the west side staging yard are the two areas we would be talking about here. But you know, there's on the west side, there's significant trees in between the staging yard and the pole. So, you know, the calculations don't take into account the fact that there's actually large mature trees there really on both cases. So the point in saying that is the mass says it's less than 0.5, but if you went to the trouble of building a three-dimensional model with trees, it would be essentially zero.
The trees are on the property line, the trees make up the property boundary.
Yeah, there's really trees along the south side, which is Hall Branch Creek there. There's a significant amount of trees on both south and west side. There's hundreds of mature trees out there on the property along the boundary.
Okay.
What is this?
One.
It didn't work.
Is there any other question or comment from the board? All right, is there a motion to be made?
Sorry, I'm flipping pages and looking at a manual here. So you're saying that a half a foot candle, 0.5, is the foot candle level that you're getting at the perimeters?
It varies, but it would be a half a foot candle.
Yeah.
Casey, how do you respond to Senate Knoxville's concern?
I would say that, you know, I really feel like we've addressed their concern in that we're trying to provide a safe lighting level in the staging yard, and we're using cutoff lighting fixtures and poles high enough, which match the existing light pole, the existing distribution center. So I feel like we found kind of a happy median here between safe lighting levels and not having light trespass on the property lines.
So, but I mean, like they're requesting that it not have the initial illumination value no greater than 0.6 horizontal and vertical foot candles at the property boundary and no greater than 0.01 horizontal foot candles 15 feet beyond the site. What are the levels that you will be using?
Yeah, So we all, I didn't evaluate it per that statement, but you know, what I've got in front of me is only the half foot candle max at the property.
I move we approve 8B A 20 B A as submitted.
I will second that motion. Is there any further discussion or question? Don, did you have anything else you wanted to ask or comment on?
No, I think I'm good with it, yes.
Okay, we have a motion, a second. Any other comment before we call for a vote? Juliana, please call for a vote, please.
Christina Bowler.
Aye.
David Dupree.
Aye.
Don Horton.
Aye.
Daniel Odell.
Aye.
Grant Rosenberg.
Aye.
I think Grant said aye.
Yes. Aye.
All right, motion, variance passes, motion passes. The variance request is approved. I believe that's all that's before us today. Is there anything else before we sign off? All right, we'll adjourn the meeting. Thank you all very much.
Thank you.
Thanks.